Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Throwback Thursdays, Fancast Fridays, sometimes a Top 5 Tuesday, and a number of other pop culture-related items. My name is Dallas, and I am, again, saying the tagline that Demi usually says, because, again, she ain't here. I don't have a long retraction monologue this week, so I'm just going to pass it over to my partner.
Hi, I'm Cassie, and I just had my face boiled for an hour, so now I'm here.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
I didn't know it was boiling, but I was talking to my electrologist earlier, and they were like, yeah, it's not technically like burning, it's boiling. So
that is the first time I've heard you use boiling to describe it.
Yeah, because I didn't know that's what it was.
Wow.
We'll probably have to cut this, but next week I get to start getting my balls boiled.
We'll see if it gets cut.
That's my life.
To me. Hey, editor to me, I know you're hearing that. Let us know if you want to talk about casting. What a way to start. Yeah, today we're talking about Mario. Today we are talking about the Super Mario Galaxy movie and shrinking. What a start. Speaking of Demi and Gabby, they're not here. Last time we heard from them, they were talking about eating mushrooms and laying pipe. Haven't seen them since. Good luck to them in their endeavor.
Mm-hmm. I'm imagining the mushroom trip from Blindspotting. The series.
Oh, right. The TV show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that. Great show. Watch it if you haven't. Best friend of the show, Davi Dix. Before we get into the episode, please like and share and subscribe. Send it to people. Do whatever you do when you like a podcast. Because who doesn't need another podcast to listen to? There aren't enough. There's one missing. It's this one. And then you're good. Listen to this one and tell all your friends. And then everybody has enough podcasts after we stop. All right, we are going to start with the Super Mario Galaxy movie, because it's a movie.
Yeah.
Cassie, question for you. I've asked you this before, but not today. Did you see the movie?
No.
Well, all right. I don't have a whole lot of thoughts, but I'm going to talk about it. You play the games. You like video games. You can ask me questions. I can give you answers, maybe. It's going to be a fun time. But anyway, let's get started. The movie is directed by Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelinek. They developed the Teen Titans Go TV show, and they directed the previous Super Mario Brothers movie. Okay. And it is written by Matthew Fogel, who wrote the previous movie. He wrote Minions, The Rise of Gru. Wow. And he wrote Big Mamas Like Father, Like Son. That is not the first time I've brought that up on this podcast, but I will do it at every opportunity because that is hilarious to me.
Okay.
What kind of career do you have that you went from Big Mamas Like Father, Like Son to Minions, The Rise of Gru, and now you're doing Super Mario? Like, what a person. Yeah.
How did they find you?
Right. It still doesn't have a Wikipedia, which is weird to me.
Huh. I feel like by now.
Yeah. Right. Made some pretty big movies.
Yeah.
And Big Mamas Like Father, Like Son. But I don't know the Wikipedia politics. I don't know how it works. Anyway, the movie stars Chris Pratt, Anya Taylor-Joy, Charlie Day, Jack Black, Keegan-Michael Key, Bendy Safdie, Donald Glover, believe it or not, and Brie Larson. And it is based on Mario. The games. There is a game called Super Mario Galaxy.
There are two.
I don't know the story. There are two. There are two games called Super Mario Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
I assume one of them is called Super Mario Galaxy 2.
You are correct.
Hey, I'm one for one. Let's keep it going. IMDb summary is Mario ventures into space, exploring cosmic worlds and tackling galactic challenges far from the familiar Mushroom Kingdom. All right, so the movie, it didn't make a huge impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
I did like it. Mm-hmm. It was fun,
okay,
as I expected.
Mm-hmm.
For me, as someone who's not a big fan of the Mario games, like I got no beef with them, mm-hmm, but I just don't really play the games outside of Smash Brothers and occasionally Mario Kart when I want to be stressed out and laughed at by my nephew.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's stuff here to enjoy.
Uh-huh.
I did enjoy it, but I don't have a lot of like pressing thoughts on it.
Sure.
But I do want to say this. Y'all, movie people. People who go on Letterboxd and people who make YouTube clips and TikToks and blah, 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 and love their little quips. We have to get away from the there's no story criticism as a way to be like quippy and cute.
Because
everybody wants to be like, story? What story? Script? What script? But like, let's be for real.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. That's how I hear them. But let's be real, guys. Like, it happened with the last movie too. Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot with a movie that is clearly a fun, colorful movie for kids with a lot of references.
Here's the problem, though, with that argument. There are plenty of fun, colorful movies for kids that have engaging stories. It being a fun, colorful movie for kids doesn't mean that the narrative has to be completely incoherent and it's just stitched together by references. That's mainly the problem that I've seen.
And this is why you gotta let me finish. Because my problem is taking a story that you don't think is compelling enough and boiling it down to there's no story, because that's not true. Like, if you think the story is not strong, sure, you can say the story's not strong, writing wasn't great, they kind of just like did whatever. But like, saying there's no plot is just not true. And it happened with the first movie too. But it's like, yo, they took her, we need to go get her. These things happen as we're trying to go get her. And this one is, for those who don't know, we got Bowser. He was being bad. We got him. His son wants to get him. He needs to get Captain Marvel, Princess Rosalina, to do what he needs to do for his... I'm trying not to give away the whole...
For sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, Bowser Jr. wants to snatch up Rosalina for his plot. So we have the villain's motivation. We have what he's doing. We have what the good guys need to do to stop him. Like, there is a story here. If you don't like it, you can say you don't like it. But just saying like, oh, there's no story. I hate the way that people just like lean on that as a way to just like dunk on a movie.
I mean, I feel
and like... I do agree with you that a kid's movie can have a compelling story. They do it all the time. But it just makes it sound like people are not comprehending the simplest stories if you say there isn't one.
I think the main criticism I've heard with the, like, yes, okay. When the movie first came out and the reviews were first coming out, people were saying like, oh, there's no story. And then with a little bit of time, people started to get a little more nuanced, and it seemed like it was more, yes, there's a framing narrative of Bowser Jr. got Rosalind, we got a yada yada, but like the stuff to get there was mainly like a vehicle for references, and it didn't really make sense, the steps to get there. It was just like, this is stuff to do.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, and there is a lot of stuff that happens in this movie, and some of it I could be like, is this really pushing this forward? But I feel like people are just kind of throwing that at everything.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, I have this thing where I try not to like spoil things that have already really been spoiled by anybody. Like, but
Glenn Powell,
you know, who's in the movie that was like revealed and they're like, why'd you reveal that?
Yeah. Glenn Powell's character being there for some reason. Like,
but it's like when we get to that point and following it, it makes sense that we're here. People will take something that, a lot of movies will take an opportunity to use a reference or an Easter egg. But it's like, if this wasn't an Easter egg character, if this was just like a new character for the movie, people wouldn't be complaining that this doesn't make sense. Like, there's a reason for this character to be here. You're just like, oh, they're just jingling keys. They are. But it's like, there's still a reason for it. But yeah, part of this is just my issue with like people who really, really love to like dogpile and dunk on movies for fun. And it's like their only way of doing criticism. But
yeah,
there's a story. If you don't like it, you don't like it. It's not the strongest, but there is one.
Okay.
But moving on from that, it's a lot of what I liked about the first movie is here for the most part. And the first time I saw it, there was some novelty to it. Like, oh, snap, we're getting a new Mario movie.
Sure.
Animated. Look at this. And now it's some of it's not hitting the same.
Okay.
But not in a way that's bad. Just in a way that's like, oh, yeah, that was more fun the first time I got it. But there's some new stuff to like. I like Mario's characterization. Okay. Because he's an interesting type of hero, because like the Loomas come to Peach for help. He doesn't try to insert himself into the mission like a Mr. Incredible or something. He's just like, all right, bet. Hey, Toad, Mushroom people, they want to talk to Peach. Let's give them their privacy and time to talk to Peach. He's not like, well, you want my help? I'm a man. I plumb things. He's just like, bet, y'all got it. Peach is capable. She can handle it. They do need to end up being part of the story for something that does happen.
Sure, of course.
But I was like, you handled that well. Shout out Mario. There's also an expectation subversion when they meet a new character who is a reveal, but everybody already knows.
Right.
And in so many movies, for some reason, this would be the time when our established hero butts heads with this one, just because it's like, what, you're the new cool guy, but I'm the cool guy. Yeah. You can't both be the cool guy. I'm jealous of you. And they kind of play it like you think that's going to happen. Like he gets the whole introduction like, oh, cool new guy. I have a spaceship. Look at me. Furries are going to love me. None of this is said in the movie. And then... Mario's just like, of course.
And they have for a very long time.
And then Mario just says, hey, man, I like your ship. He's like, hey, man, I like your mustache. And it's just a nice moment.
Okay.
Gets past all that stuff we don't need to do.
It is interesting, though, because I can't remember if it was someone from Nintendo or someone from Illumination was like, hey, so that thing that you all think this is leading to, we don't have any plans for that. So then I'm like, so then why is this here?
So I get that, because I remember the last time we talked about it was the, because you were like, what's the point of a Super Smash Brothers movie? And I was like, I want these niggas to fight.
It's true.
But given that this is a movie about space and different like galaxies and planets, so it's like, we don't need Smash Brothers to justify why this person is here. They're in space.
And I think the thing about that is then that leads me to other questions like, okay, well, why is this person here and not this person or this person or this person who also spend a lot of time in space?
Like, why not other space people?
It's just an interesting choice, like this one and not this other one.
Especially given the one they chose really makes it think, okay, well, are we doing Super Smash Brothers?
Right. And then they say, no, we're not. So, okay.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing with like universes sometimes is like, if you want to make a reference, sometimes people will be like, oh, snap, does that mean this is happening? Because there's all this connective tissue.
And that's the assumption.
And sometimes, no.
Which, like, if they actually don't, I will be pleasantly surprised. If they're just like, nope, we just threw this in here. Get wrecked.
I want to see them fight the hand. Fight that hand. Dap him up. Have him throw gang signs at the camera.
No. Nope. They can't do that one.
I want it. Anyway, yeah. Mario, cool. Like that expectation subversion. Ironically, it doesn't really make sense that they don't ask for Mario's help because we start with the Lumas and they're like, we want to hear the story. And then Rosalina's like, I'm going to tell you the story about Princess Peach. And they're like, we want to hear the story about plumbers. So they know who Mario is, and they revere him as a hero because of the first movie. So when they get there, and they're like, Peach, we need your help. And Mario's there, and they just don't ask him for help. I'm like,
seems strange, yeah.
Y'all been reading bedtime stories about this dude. You don't want his help? But I don't know. But yeah, like I said, not the best story. There is a story, but there are things about it that will make you scratch your little head. Jack Black continues to kill it. He's in there having a great time. And he's definitely the high point of the movie for me. Other Bowser, Bowser Jr., played by Benny Safdie, also pretty dope. I didn't know Benny Safdie did any voice acting. I don't know if he has before. He was pretty solid.
Okay.
And the father-son relationship there is surprisingly cute.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I like this. And I like what they do with Bowser Jr. Visually, there's a lot of cool stuff. Like, I don't know anything about Bowser Jr. outside of Super Smash Brothers, but he has like a paintbrush.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. The paintbrush, because the paintbrush to me references Sunshine, but this is not a Sunshine movie. So I'm like, what are we doing? Because, yeah, in Super Mario Sunshine, there's a character who looks like Mario, but kind of goopy. Turns out it's Bowser Jr. the whole time. And what he does is he runs around with a paintbrush and does graffiti and makes things goopy.
Okay. Goop.
Yeah.
Shout out Gwyneth. I don't know anything about that. I just know in Smash Brothers, he has his paintbrush and he like uses it for his stuff. And I'm like, bet, cool. That's your thing. But they do some really cool stuff with it visually. Visually, the movie is really, really fun to look at. Some beautiful shots, colors, space, stars, other things. But yeah, it's a fun movie to look at. And I really like, there's a shot, I think, in the trailer where he like puts the paintbrush on the ground and the kind of like Silver Surfer goop gets everywhere and like makes him a scarier Bowser Jr. And I'm like, this is dope. This is a fun time.
Nice.
Is it amazing? No. Is it fun? Yes. Would I recommend it? If you like the first one, then have at it. You'll probably have a good time.
Fair enough.
Or if like you're into the Mario movies to the point where you'll appreciate like, oh, snap, look at that. Look at that.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately
Mario games.
Why I didn't see it was because basically what I was hearing was it carries itself along via references. And as somebody who hates nostalgia, I was just like, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, if you hate nostalgia,
I'll probably end up watching it.
Because Mario's inherently nostalgic.
Anyway,
it's a pretty old franchise.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't need to be watching the movie and going, oh, that character. Oh, that. Like, I don't care necessarily about the background stuff. So,
I mean, did you like the first one?
I did. I liked it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, same. That was me too. Yeah, you probably wouldn't like this one as much. But I don't know. They do similar things in a similarly fun way.
Okay.
Also, Donald Glover. I love Donald Glover. But why are you here?
That's okay. So when they announced it, I was like, wait, so is Yoshi going to talk? And it sounds like...
Right, that was
Yoshi
my thought.
Doesn't. Yoshi makes Yoshi noises, which makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
But why did you need Donald Glover for that? Like, you could have just called up Alan Tudyk for 5 seconds and you know you would have gotten...
Honestly, what I have heard once from a source I can't verify is that Donald Glover really wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I heard that too.
I mean... If I'm making a movie and Donald Glover's like, hey, can I be in your movie? I'm going to say yes, regardless of follow-up questions. But I just, like, are you paying him Donald Glover money for this?
Like, is the credit song Yoshi doing Bonfire? Like, what are we doing here?
If he was like, yo, don't even worry about, like, paying me my usual fees. Like, I just want to do it for fun. It's going to be cool. Then I'm like, yes, definitely. But I can't spend Donald Glover money on Yoshi. No, he did a great job. Yeah. Sounds like Yoshi.
Okay.
But, like, you, bro, you could have brought your kid in and done this.
Hey, it's a name that you attach to the movie that makes people more interested. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, hey, all that said, he did a great job making those Yoshi noises.
Because
the only reason I know it's him is because I already knew going in that it was him. But I was listening to it, like, I didn't know, like, it doesn't sound like Donald Glover. It sounds like Yoshi.
Well, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, Donald Glover, you might have a Alan Tudyk, D. Bradley Baker future in voice acting if you want to go that route.
All right.
Make some animal noises.
I just want Yoshi to hit some notes.
Yeah, honestly. Next time we need Yoshi to rap.
Freaks and Geeks. Let's go.
Freaks and Geeks. Starring Yoshi. Let's get it. But anyway, yeah, that's Super Mario Galaxy. It's fun time. It's fun time.
Okay.
Moving on to Shrinking. It's a TV show. It's nothing like Mario.
How many seasons now?
This is the third. And clearly supposed to be the last, but it won't be. And I will get back to that.
Okay.
So Shrinking is created by Bill Lawrence. Bill Lawrence is a man who created Scrubs and Ted Lasso. And this new show called Rooster, the man, working. Because Rooster and Scrubs, and until this past week, Shrinking, were all on at the same time.
Yeah, I keep seeing commercials for Rooster. Still don't know what it is.
It's cool. I'll tell you about it in a second. Later. Maybe I don't know.
Sure.
But it's like, you have three shows currently running.
Damn.
Take a break, bro. Go home. Although his wife is on two of these shows and is the music supervisor for, I think, all of his shows. Oh. So, you know, family business.
That's cool.
Shout out Krista Miller. But yeah, created by him and Jason Segel and Brett Goldstein. It stars Jason Segel, Jessica Williams, Luke Tenney, Michael Urie, Lakeeta Maxwell, Krista Miller, Harrison Ford, and Ted McGinley. And IMDb summary is, a therapist is sad and he's a bad therapist. That's not what it says in the summary. But the summary for TV shows is usually, it's usually written for season one.
Right.
But I'll just read it anyway. A grieving therapist starts to tell his clients exactly what he thinks. Ignoring his training and ethics, he finds himself making huge changes to people's lives, including his own.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, essentially a sad therapist, he going through stuff.
Right.
He's bad at being a therapist.
Yeah.
So I didn't love the season as much as the first two. Mm-hmm. Still very much enjoyed it. It's a great show. It continues to be a great show. Certain things irked me about the season, like how they handle one of the characters' relationships. Mm-hmm. His name is Sean. I will get back to it. Still love the show. It still makes me laugh. It still makes me sad. All the characters are, they still feel like family. It still takes place in Pasadena, which makes me biased towards it. They're supposed to do three seasons. They got a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And it is clear that this was supposed to be the end of the show.
Oh.
The last episode is called And That's Our Time, which if that's not a series finale title.
Yeah.
Bill Lawrence has come out and said, like, that was the end of this, like, three-season story. We're telling a new story with season four. Not like on some This Is an Anthology Now type stuff.
Sure.
But just, you know, we have done these arcs for three seasons and now we're going to do something different. Which,
cool.
I'm very curious to see what they're going to do. Personally, I think that they will, and if not, they need to address the fires. Because I think the show was, season three, I think, was filmed post-fire, but written pre-fire.
Sure.
So it doesn't really work into the story. But if it's going to be first three seasons and then season four, a big thing happened in between that you got to address. And it could lead to some new stories. But yeah, at this point, if you don't address it, I'm like, Bill, what you doing, bro? Show is still hilarious, still consistently making me rewind because I missed a joke because I was laughing too hard, which is always a great note of a comedy for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do think sometimes about the fact that this was probably the worst show for me to pick for a 10-minute take for you.
Yeah.
Because the show starts with Jimmy, our main character, played by Jason Segel, at his worst.
Yeah.
And the whole point of the show is all these people care about him and they come around together for him and they help him out of this and he gets better and they get better and all these people love each other and care about each other. And the first 10 minutes is just, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man. And it's not even like a show that I would have expected you to end up watching. So it's not like, oh, Cassie was definitely going to watch this and now she won't. But it's just like, it's so much good stuff that you're probably never going to see. But yeah, that's the 10-minute take. There's always a risk. There's always a gamble.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of Jason Segel, he's so good. He does this thing that he kind of like, dead eyes and dead voice is the best way I could describe it. But when he's like at his lowest, he has this like low monotone, like I'm just kind of over everything delivery. And he's very good at it. It always makes me sad. And this season, we got to dive into his daddy issues.
Mm.
He pretty much gets a Fresh Prince, how come he don't want me, man, type episode.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to the level of that amazing Will Smith monologue, but a similar story vibe. He's great. Jessica Williams is great. Her character's name is Gabby. She frustrated the hell out of me sometimes during this season.
Mm.
But now we're getting more of an, like, this season's more of an arc for her. Mm-hmm. So the actress gets a lot more to do.
Okay.
And Jessica Williams, fantastic. We love her. Harrison Ford, fantastic. Still funny to me that I became a big fan of Harrison Ford decades after the rest of the world because I don't really care about Star Wars. I don't really care about Indiana Jones or Blade Runner. And these are all the things that made him like everyone's favorite. Mm-hmm. But then Shrinky came out and I was like, yo, cranky old man doctor. That's my guy. That's my bag right there. But shout out Harrison. He's great. There's a lot of characters. I'm not going to name them all. Listen, Derek. Derek is the best character on the show. He's delightful. Ted McGinley has a friendly face, like the opposite of a punchable face.
Okay.
I don't know if we have a phrase for that.
I don't think
like
we do.
Like a holdable face, a cradleable face. I don't know. What's the opposite of punching?
I don't know.
Caressing?
Maybe.
Yeah, everything sounds creepy. Caressable face? That sounds...
Leave a man's face alone.
Yeah, just don't touch his face. Nice guy. They have a son. His name is Matthew. Up to this point in the show, I'd always refer to him as Liz and Derek's son number two because he clearly didn't matter. And he gets so much emotional weight this season.
Mm.
And the show was great at that. Like, they'll take a character who you never expected to care about and make them vital to a storyline or,
nice.
Like, plot point. I'm like, oh, yeah, Matthew's here. And he is a person who has feelings. Like I said, love the characters. They're not good therapists.
No.
It's one of those things that you watch the show and I think as a sitcom, dramedy, traumedy, whatever you want to call it, those kind of comedies that kind of, like, blend genres.
Uh-huh.
You can just take it. It's like, oh, this is fun. This is funny. But sometimes you think about, like, what if a real therapist did these things or, like, gave this advice or repeatedly checked their phone during sessions? It's like, there's a lot of stuff y'all shouldn't be doing. Like, Matthew, Liz and Derek's son, he has a point where he's kind of, like, they coddle him and he's kind of spoiled and he's not really moving forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul, Harrison Ford, says, biggest mistake parents make is doing too much for their kids. That's the thing to say. Issue is, Paul, you have a daughter who famously resents you because you did not do enough for her in her life. So for you to say the biggest mistake parents make is doing too much for their kids. Hey, man, what about your mistake? What about the fact that your adult daughter...
because he didn't make the mistake. See?
He didn't make
that
mistake.
That's why he's good.
That's why he's a great parent. Sean is played by Luke Tenney. I'm very happy for Luke Tenney. He's everywhere. He's in Abbott Elementary now. I think he was on The Pit. I don't watch The Pit, but I saw a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Luke Tenney. He is great. His character is great. I didn't like the storyline they did with his character this season. Essentially, he has an ex. Her name is Marisol. And things ended badly. He was in the army. She wrote him a letter. Was like, peace. He lashed out. She cheated on him. Bad things happen.
Oh, no.
And he is in a part of his life where he's like, yo, I want to address this. Accountability matters. If we're going to have any kind of communication, let's address what we did. I am sorry that for my part. And then she's like, okay, my turn. He's like, yes. And she says, pass. What? She's basically saying, you want to live in the past. Cool. That's not my style. And it's kind of just sidesteps everything you said. And I thought, not great.
No,
not a great response. He did a very good job with let's address both sides of what we did. And my issue with the show is that I think the show just wants these characters to be together.
Wow.
And Sean talks to people in his life, most of which are trained therapists. Like, he'll talk to Gabby. He'll say everything that just happened. And Gabby will be like, you want a smoocher, don't you? Like, hey, Gabby, maybe listen to what he said.
Yeah.
And then Harrison Ford is like, ah, yes, this girl's good for you. She's a catalyst in your life. She's getting you out your comfort zone. And he's like, hey, man. And I'm like, hey, man, he said a lot. Y'all didn't address any of it. And that was infuriating for me.
What a weird choice.
It's not. It's such a weird choice. And that's the thing is, like, sometimes comedy shows for the sake of comedy. And I had this conversation with Demi and Jesse a couple of times. Is that, you know, Demi works in, like, writer's rooms for comedies. And it's kind of sometimes, you know, we got to get that joke. It's a comedy show. Let's make something funny happen. But I'm like, yeah, but when you have a story and you have a show that kind of bends genres into drama so much. And wants us to take certain things so seriously. And sometimes when it's just like, this would be a funny thing to happen. I'm like, wait, but what about addressing the problem here.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that can happen when you want to, the best idiom I can think of is have your cake and eat it too.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's like you want to be a comedy, but you want to be serious, but you want to do this, you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it doesn't always work out for both sides.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not a huge part of the season. It was just a thing that kept bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the show, most of the season, great stuff. It takes place in Pasadena. I am from Pasadena. I love Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
There are moments in the show where I'll be like, a Leo meme pointing at the screen. I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Little sister, JoJo. You know JoJo. She used to work in that baby store in Paseo. And in the show, two of the characters go into the store. They go, yeah, like they are like, oh, we need to buy a stroller. They go to the store
and they go to the bougie store.
This is a very bougie side of Pasadena. These are a bunch of doctors who have a bunch of money.
Okay, I just remember that store was bougie as fuck.
Yeah, and that's a lot of the show. It's like the bougie side of Pasadena. It's one thing that I can't call like a fault of the show. It's just something that being from Pasadena the way I am, I would like to see the other sides of it.
Sure.
But it's like, I don't know why Jason Segel would be hanging out with the Bloods. So like, it doesn't really make sense for that to be a thing.
You probably need a different show for that.
Yeah, we'll do the other Pasadena show for that. But yeah, like they go to parks and I'm like, I've played kickball at that park. Mm-hmm. They go to a bar for trivia. I've done trivia at that bar.
Mm.
Fun stuff for me. I love it. But yeah, great time. Great show. Clearly supposed to be over, but it's not. And I'll take it because I want to keep watching.
Okay.
If you like those types of comedies that will make you laugh all the time, but then also make you cry a surprising amount, I recommend it. Mm. Not me. I push my feelings down deep like a man. But, you know, if you're one of those crying types, emotional and all that stuff, then watch it and cry. I don't know.
Jesus.
Disclaimer, I'm kidding. I am an emotionally healthy person. I just don't be crying a lot because I'm generally happy. I'm very grateful for my life.
Well, if you can cry at things and not be sad.
Yeah. I don't know what, like, we don't have time to get into the things that make me want to cry in movies.
That's right.
We do. I always say we don't have time. We have time.
Yeah.
It's our podcast.
We have as much time as you
want. We work for nobody.
Take.
We can do whatever we want. So yeah, let's get into it. I think there's a thing about like nonfiction that hits me harder.
That makes sense.
Like, I watch like a documentary. Like I told you, the one TV show that's made me cry is that documentary where a wrestler who passed away, they showed his nephew
talking about
when he found out. And I was like, Jesus, this is getting me. But yeah, and I watch things and some, like, I watch something and be like, oh man, the tears coming, and they just don't. But
mm-hmm.
I almost cried watching Onward when Barley? One of the Elf boys was talking about the last time they saw their dad.
The other one.
The other one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, the other one. Not the twink. The Burley one.
That's Barley.
But yeah, he was talking about Barley. Yeah, he was talking about his dad. And I was like, oh man, this is really sad. But you know how Pixar does.
Yeah.
Thick moms and tears. That's the Pixar tagline. Put it on the wall at Pixar. Thick moms and tears. Anyway, those are our reviews. Cassie, you watched 10 minutes of something.
Yeah, I did. I'm just imagining like a wall with a bunch of characters and then that in the middle. And it's just,
Yeah, you got Elastigirl, Jane Onward. I don't remember her name. Lori Lightfoot?
Yes, I think so. We had this conversation, like, I think.
We're going to keep having this conversation.
Recorded it the time before, so.
Yeah, Lori Lightfoot, I think. So, yeah, Big Moms, boom, them. And then, like, the scene from Up. All the dead parents on the other side of
there
the
There we go.
Yeah. Pixar, if you're listening, it's good content.
That isn't. Anyway.
Anyway, you watched 10 minutes of a thing.
I did. So this is going to be an interesting one because I watched the first 10 minutes of The Boondocks because that was on the list.
Ooh, I've been waiting for this.
So this is interesting. So first, you know, going through it, it starts with Huey having a dream where he's at like a garden party. And the first thing he says is, I think Jesus is black. Ronald Reagan is the devil. And
the government is lying about
9/11. Yes, thank you.
Jesus was black. Ronald Reagan was the devil, and the government is lying about 9/11. Thank you for your time, and good night.
Mm-hmm. And then the white people go crazy, and it's a riot, and someone's on fire, and yada, yada.
Yeah, as you do.
And then Grandpa's like, yo, don't be telling white people the truth. They can't handle the truth, yada, yada. Then for some reason, we have to watch the grandfather exercise naked. I don't know why.
Really weird way to start.
Really weird. We didn't need that at all.
Really weird way to start.
Because
I don't know why they did that.
I thought like the kids were going to walk in and be like, oh, what are you doing? No, it's just like, okay, that was just for us. That didn't. I didn't.
In case we wanted to see some old man dick.
And I didn't. Let's see.
No.
He yells at the kids about orange juice for some reason, because that's the thing you do, I guess. And they're like, we didn't want to move here. He's old. Like, I moved you here for new white man something. And then new white man shows up and is like, yo, I own you. I own your house. He doesn't say I own you, but that's kind of the implication, to be honest. He's like, yo, I let certain people in my house, and not the gays and not the terrorists.
Not the gays.
And the granddad does the you can fascinate a white person with a piece of cheese thing, which is largely true. yeah, and then I think it ends after the white dude leaves and is like, yo, come to my garden party. And grandpa's like, yeah. And the kids are like, nah. But he's like, yeah, you're going to go. I don't know how to feel about it. It's part of it for me is that the characters felt less like, what am I trying to say? Less like they were speaking their actual thoughts and opinions, and more like the writer said stuff they wanted to say and used the characters to do it.
Okay.
Like when the kids are talking to the grandpa and they're like, we don't want to do stuff. And he's like, well, we got hit by fire hoses and dogs. They're like, did you get hit by those? And he's like, well, that doesn't matter. And he was like, yeah, right. Well, it's like your whole generation wants to take credit for something a few people did. And like that line just felt too like, would you actually say this? Or is that just the point that the writers wanted to make in this moment? So you gave that to the character and there you go. I don't know. I don't know. It's complicated for me, this one, because I don't know how to feel about it. It's like I can laugh at it somewhat, but then at the same time, am I the white people they're talking about? I don't know. And so that makes it complicated.
No, you're not the white people they're talking. Clearly you're not those white people.
Well, yes, but when you use the collective, some things do apply. I do like cheese, it must be said. So
you do. Okay, you do like cheese, but also you're also a black person.
True, but there is a different way of being, way of growing up, a different sense of community that some black people have that I don't. And so that is interesting to see and always makes me feel kind of weird.
Yeah, I get that. Like, as much as I can get it.
It's but, also like
we've talked about that before. But also, like the example of like the garden party, these are, and they actually go to the garden party later in the episode.
I figured.
And these are white people who like go up to Huey and say stuff like, oh, look at you. You're so well-spoken.
Oh, and okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
These are the dude who owns the house.
Right.
That type of white person.
Right.
Who refers to Middle Easterns as people of terrorist descent.
Right.
Like, you have a white side of your family, but these people don't interact with the black people. They are rich white elites. You're not that. You like cheese.
Yeah.
It's probably in your DNA. I don't know. But yeah, that ain't you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This was a complicated one.
Yeah. And if you know anything about Aaron Magruder, the guy who made the show and wrote the comic strip is based on, the comic strip, while funny, it's a lot of, I want to say this thing, so I'm going to have this kid say it. So the show is the same, like that's Huey. And if you like the show, it's a lot, like, I think it relies a lot on, do you like what Aaron has to say? Yeah. And that's why I love Huey, because most of what Huey has to say is stuff along the lines of the energy of Jesus was black, Ronald Reagan was the devil. So it's,
which, you know, I can't, Ronald Reagan was absolutely the devil, and his evil continues to persist to this day for some reason. So yeah, you know,
yeah,
can't fault you on that one.
He was an effective, devil. But yeah, if like that kind of like, you know, people who like, and you know, I'm not saying that you're this kind of person, but the people who are like, oh, you know, why are you trying to put a message in everything? Da 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 da. Like those type of people, they would hate the Boondocks because that's what it largely is.
To be fair,
Aaron has a message.
Does not waste any time. The first words
right
out of the character's mouth are like, okay, this is very clearly like, this is what this is.
You know
is.
What you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what you're getting. But yeah, it is very much commentary through the lens of animated comedy. I'm glad that you've seen it for the first 10 minutes at least.
Yeah.
That's been on the list for a while.
I mean, that was half an episode, so, you know.
True.
Yeah.
22 minutes.
It got to the commercial break, so.
But yeah, I'm glad, especially because, I was actually on the list before. Demi was saying we should just put a bunch of black stuff on the list.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Just never came up.
Yeah, huh. The number generator never got to it.
Sounds like there might be some racist forces behind that number generator, so I'm saying.
I think so. Culturally biased. All right, 10-minute takes. We did it.
Yeah.
So that section that we don't have a name for, anything in the news you're excited about?
Let's see. Anything in the movies I'm excited about? Okay. How do I say it? I'm not excited about this, but I'm excited for the discourse about the fact that a Metal Gear Solid movie got announced, and people have a lot of feelings about that. I know that the directors were people I actually like. I can't remember who, but it's just one of those things where people are going to have a lot of feelings about it, and I'm very excited to see. Oh, from the Final Destination Bloodlines duo, which is a wild choice. I mean, I like that movie, don't get me wrong, but I don't know that I would pick them to do whatever the fuck. Is it spies? Is it mechs? Is it fighting the president of America? I don't know. It's all of these things, because Hideo Kojima is wild. But
love that.
God, I'm just excited to see the discourse.
All right. I know a different dude. I think the guy who made Kong Skull Island was supposed to be making this movie
Jordan
a long
Boyd
time.
Roberts was supposed to. He was supposed to do it forever. And then it just never happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
But all right. Yeah, we will see what the discourse is. Maybe they'll make him black and piss everybody off.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Not everybody.
They won't,
you know,
but
a lot of people.
That'd be amazing.
They won't.
I just want to know, are they going to include, what's her name? Quiet, I think, is the one who, when she debuted, it was very egregious. Like, oh, you made this character with like an outfit that shows off almost everything. And what are we doing here? And it can be interesting.
All right. Let me do some Googling real quick. For content purposes, for research, obviously.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, I got to be informed of what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. It's not...
Yes, I see.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it was, but it's still pretty... Okay.
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
It's a very deliberate choice.
Yeah.
There will be some talk about this.
Yeah.
But yeah, hope she makes the movie. Speaking of movies, the thing that I'm excited about, and I guess I don't know if I didn't know or I forgot... There's a movie called Ray Gun that is coming out.
Oh, is that Brad Bird's the thing that he's been gestating?
Yeah.
Apparently he wrote it in like 1996. Or at least
wild.
Started it in 96, and now he's finally getting to make it. It's like, I
love that. That's perfect. That's Iron Giant Brad Bird.
Man loves his retrofuturism. It's wild.
Yeah. So when I go on Wikipedia, it's described as an adult animated neo-noir private eye cyberpunk science fiction action film. Directed by Brad Bird.
Too many words.
What the hell are we doing? I don't know, but I want all that. I love Brad Bird. Incredibles. Iron Giant. Ratatouille. That one Mission Impossible movie. Elastigirl. Great, great dude. He creates great things that I love to watch. And I love animation. And this is apparently adult animated. Love that. Different take. And Sam Rockwell is... the guy's name is Raymond Gunn. That's amazing. I love that.
Solid.
I can't wait. I don't know anything else about it.
So does that...
I don't care.
Do you know the order of like that versus Incredibles 3?
I think pretty sure Ray Gun comes out this
happening,
year.
Right? Oh, shit.
I think Ray Gun is this year.
All right.
But yes, Incredibles 3 is happening.
Okay.
Ray Gun is this year.
Oh, wow.
Allegedly.
We'll see.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I'm with it. I can't wait.
Well, congrats.
Yeah, love that for me. Different opinions. When we get a comment.
Oh, okay.
Every once in a while. And guess what? We got one.
Hey.
It's from TikTok. It is on our Hunchback fan cast.
Oh.
And it's from someone named Wretched, which is a very intense name.
Hmm.
I don't know your story, Wretched, but thanks for commenting. Comment is, my favorite character is Clopin.
I imagine a lot of people share that view.
Yeah, I don't really remember Clopin. I don't really remember the movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
I saw it a very long time ago, and I was like, hey, that was a lot.
It is.
Once was probably enough for me.
Yeah, it is. But, you know.
But, cool.
Cool.
Shout out to Wretched. I don't know. I can't, like, I don't remember Clopin. I'm sorry. I don't remember Clopin. It's a jester, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look cool. Jesters are fun.
Yeah. Sort of.
Anyway, this has been Different Opinions. If you want the same level of common interaction, leave us a comment on one of the things.
Yeah. Please.
Well, that's it. We did it.
Yeah. Look at us.
Not as fast as last time, I don't think. But
no,
hey.
But still pretty good. I mean, we're not even at 50 minutes. Look at us go.
Yeah, this is great. And, you know, you got to some topics. We talked about what makes me cry, your interaction with your race and your identity, you liking cheese.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about some important things. So
yeah,
we can take an extra few minutes for that.
Well, see, here's do you like cheese?
Do I like cheese? I like cheese.
Okay.
I'm not like you can turn me into Mr. Rogers by offering me a piece of cheese like
right,
you said
right,
in the
right.
show about white people.
Mm-hmm.
I do like cheese. I think most people like cheese.
Yeah.
Although there's a belief that, you know, we're all just varying levels of lactose intolerant.
Yeah, yeah. But that doesn't matter, though. Because, like, my sister was, and she did not care.
Uh-huh.
She would just be like, okay, a lot of people, I ain't doing anything for the next couple days. I'm going to eat all this ice cream, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people who have, like, actual, like, are really, like, lactose intolerant just live life dangerously.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, do what you want to do.
Like
eat
you
that
used
cheese.
To.
Eat that ice cream. Guzzle that milk. Anyway, thanks, audience, for listening to all of that. We had a great time.
Yeah.
You had a great time.
Yeah.
If not, sorry. Thank you, Brandon and I, for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. To me, thank you for editing and putting us on YouTube. That's it, because you weren't here. Cassie, thank you for tag-teaming back-to-back episodes with me.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
I got you.
It's been a good run. As always, you can reach us in the comments. You can hit us on Instagram or Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast, Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC, or TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. Let us know who your favorite character from Hunchback is, or something else more relevant to what we talked about today. Whatever. If you want to talk to me about Brad Bird's new movie, find me on Instagram or Letterboxd or Serialized at A King Named Simba, because I'm always down to talk about some Brad Bird.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Soothsayer. Are you mixed race of some sort? Talk to me about that, because I feel like I don't get to talk about that a lot because I don't know a lot of mixed people. And that'd be fun.
Yes. Biracial baddies, light brights, red bones. I feel like if I keep going, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
All you guys, talk to Cassie. And you know me, I like mixed people too. You guys are great.
Thanks.
Cassie's one of my favorites. Anyway, back to Blue Sky. You can find Gabby on Blue Sky at Peaches and Cream. It is Peaches, the letter N, the word cream.
That's good.
You can find Demi on Blue Sky at Lay That Pipe. It is all one word. Lay That Pipe. That's where they're at. All right. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
Cassie, I have a very important question for you.
Okay.
Do you think, given a couple conversations that we had today,
uh-huh.
that Brad Bird will give us a hot mom in his new movie?
I think it is extremely likely. I mean, if you're a private eye detective, whatever, you got to talk to a lot of people. Oh no,
mm-hmm,
someone
right.
got murdered. We got to go talk to the wife. And wow, look at her. She's stacked.
I love that.
I want this for you.
Thank you for that. Yes, I appreciate you.